Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's Word for our meditation this morning is the epistle lesson read before, as this is found in Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21, as follows. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior and Head of His Church, dearly beloved hearers of His precious Word, on the last two Sundays, we focused our meditations on the previous sections of Romans chapter 12. In those sections, the Apostle Paul revealed, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, additional details regarding our identity as Christians. That in addition to being God's adopted sons and daughters by faith in Christ Jesus, we are also members or parts of Christ's mystical body, the church. And just as the various parts of our physical bodies don't perform the same tasks, each of us operates individually according to the various gifts given us by God. Now, in the last section of chapter 12, we read that with our bodies presented as living sacrifices unto God, and while we, as individual members, perform our various tasks using our various gifts and talents for the benefit of Christ's body, we are also to render certain reasonable services in common or altogether. Good works, which are so foreign to man's naturally sinful and fleshly inclinations, that the resulting contrast between us and the children of this world is obvious. As we meditate upon our text for today, let us once again focus on the fact that we have been spiritually transformed by the working of the Holy Ghost through the gospel, that we have been incorporated into Christ's mystical body by faith, and that we manifest our spiritual transformation by our Christian conduct, not permitting ourselves to be overcome with evil, but by overcoming evil with good. In his summary words concluding chapter 12, the Apostle Paul urges us as members of Christ by faith, be not overcome of evil. This exhortation can only be made to Christians, to those who have been spiritually quickened and transformed by the renewing of their minds. Because unbelievers or children of this world cannot avoid being overcome of evil. In fact, the state of total depravity in which they live, this is constantly the case. Jesus teaches us in John 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Using this simple principle, then, we see clearly that all men by nature, by virtue of their carnal generation, have nothing in them but a carnal or fleshly mind, which Paul tells us is enmity against God. In this state of enmity against God, the unbelieving children of this world are servants to sin and to the devil. And the Lord Himself testified to their total corruption even before the flood already, inspiring Moses to write in Genesis 6, verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And sadly, unbelievers willingly remain in this natural, cursed, and condemned state, under bondage to sin, death, and the devil, despite God's great mercy toward them, according to which he will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. They regard the knowledge of the truth as foolishness. They despise the fact that God sent his only begotten Son into the world to be the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. They could care less about the resulting gift of justification which stands accomplished by the obedience of one. And in their sin-blinded reason, they cannot comprehend that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is no surprise, then, that the unbelieving children of this world recompense, that is, pay back, evil for evil, in direct contradiction to the Apostle Paul's exhortation, recompense to no man evil for evil. As the children of wrath, they fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. When such people feel slighted or disrespected, or estimate that they've been harmed in any way, their immediate instinct is to respond in kind. And in so doing, they perpetuate and often escalate the evil which was done to them. And because the naturally and carnally minded not only do those things, but have pleasure in them that do them, their worldly peers rarely, if ever, rebuke them for their vengefulness, but rather encourage them. And they validate the cycle of hatred and violence it produces, and find entertainment value in the drama that then plays out before them. Yes, the carnally minded children of this world have a callous disregard for the welfare of their fellow man, and have no God-pleasing desire or ability to live peaceably with all men. In overt displays of enmity against God, and in evidence of willful separation from him, sinful men arrogantly take to themselves the revenge or vengeance which God has reserved to himself alone. And St. Paul, earlier in his letter to the Romans, in chapter 3, verses 13 through 16, quotes Isaiah, showing that this is the case for sinful men, writing, "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps, or snakes, is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways." We also see evidence of this so often today in the courts, where people attempt to sue one another over the smallest matters, not seeking legitimate redress of grievances or reasonable compensation for actual harm, but hoping to exact their pound of flesh, as it were, by virtue of a judge's order. Going by the number and popularity of court TV shows on the air today, plenty of people not only participate in such action, but are entertained by it as well. Cursing and bitterness is displayed on a daily basis on social networking sites and services, which facilitate some of the most hateful and spiteful communication directed not only against enemies, but against friends and family. And by these things, they that do them show that they are overcome with evil. But brethren, lest we become high-minded or pharisaical and say to ourselves, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. We Christians are to remember and humbly to acknowledge that we did those things according to who we were by nature. And were it not for the gracious operation of the Holy Ghost to create in us a new man of righteousness, we would continually be overrun by this very evil. We all had our conversation among them in time past, Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 3, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We are still sorely tempted every day by the devil, the world, and our flesh to continue in them. And according to the working of our flesh, we often fall into those temptations and find that we have committed the very things which we know we should have avoided. The evil which I would not, that I do, we confess with Paul in Romans 7, verse 19. By these sins, which we commit in weakness because of our flesh, we give a contrary testimony of our faith and of our status as members of Christ. And because of our sins, we are to repent, and we are to seek and receive forgiveness for them. And so we pray with the psalmist David, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Confident then of the forgiveness of sins which we have received by faith, trusting God's promise that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, and grateful that we have not been overcome with evil, let us focus our attention upon the Apostle Paul's closing words of our text, where he urges us to overcome evil with good. Like the exhortation to be not overcome with evil, Paul's exhortation to overcome evil with good is made only to Christians, because only Christians have been delivered from the power of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. The writer to the Hebrews sets this forth in chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please God. And the ability, the will, and the performance of the good with which we are to overcome evil have all been worked in his believers by God himself. As St. Paul writes to the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. As Christ's members, we desire, according to our new man, constantly to present our bodies as living sacrifices to his service and to his glory, being motivated to do so by God's mercy and grace to us in Christ Jesus, so that we, according to the Apostle Paul's direction in verse 17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Honesty is not something that the children of this world value. And so by doing this alone, we Christians show that we are now separate and different from them. And because we are now separate, and because we're now different, Paul writes to the Ephesians, be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are also as Christians, with our whole bodies committed to His service, we seek to lead peaceable lives and do not seek our own revenge. Following instead the inspired counsel of the Apostle Paul in verses 18 and 19 of our text, where he writes, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Because of the constant assaults of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, we find it difficult at times to live peaceably even with our own families or with our friends. But we are enjoined here to extend this conduct to all men, even to our enemies. And thus, we are to overcome evil with good. Not only must we constantly rely on His help to do so, but we are moved to do so by the love and mercy which God showed to us when we were His enemies. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, "God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." And we confess with Jacob of old, "We are not worthy of the least of all of the mercies and of all the truth which God has shown, which thou hast showed unto thy servants." Because we are to live honestly and peacefully and to show love and kindness to our enemies, we are not to seek our own vengeance or revenge, but we are to rely on our Heavenly Father for vengeance. He reserves this right to Himself alone, as we learn from verse 19 of our text, where Paul writes, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Again, according to the weakness of our flesh and the powerful temptations of the devil, we often find it difficult, if not impossible, not to seek our own vengeance. But as Paul tells us, we are to overcome evil with good. This then, dear brethren, becomes a care, which, as Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 5, we are to cast upon Him, for He careth for us. As His adopted children by faith, we trust that our Heavenly Father will avenge us of our enemies, just as He promised to do in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 43, saying, "Rejoice, O ye nations, with His people, for He will avenge the blood of His servants and will render vengeance to His adversaries and will be merciful unto His land and to His people." And because we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, we leave these things to Him to accomplish in His own way and in His own time. Until then, we have more than enough to concentrate our efforts upon, including cheerfully providing for the needs of our enemies and thus overcome their evil toward us with good. In doing these things, brethren, we show our faith by our works. And we show our spiritual identity by our works. And we also show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We also, once again, show love toward our neighbor by doing these things, in the hopes that they see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Dear brethren, when we look back and examine all of the various exhortations of the Apostle Paul toward us in Romans chapter 12, and particularly those in our text for today, we realize that all of our attention, all of our work, and all of our time is to be utilized in His service, to His glory. This leaves no room for being overcome with evil, but only for overcoming evil with good. If left to ourselves, we could never hope to fulfill even one of those expectations which God has of His dear children, especially since we have been and will continue to be tempted sorely by the devil and his malicious devices to regard these exhortations or duties as great burdens, which we would just as soon cast off. To sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, to forfeit and to despise the very blood of our Savior, which cleanses us from our sins, and thus to become overcome with evil. But according to His mercy and grace, our Heavenly Father does not leave us to ourselves. He motivates, enables, and performs the very things in us which He expects, so that we willingly and cheerfully focus on our spiritual calling as members of Christ's mystical body, so that we regard the tasks He assigns to us as blessed privileges, and thus manifest to the worldly minded around us that we're different from them, and that we overcome evil with good. Let us ever humbly acknowledge and rejoice in the fact that we have been incorporated into our Savior's church and into the Lord's family by faith, which He worked in us. And let us then, all together, confide in His promise to us that He which hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.